Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds so that we may clearly hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, as we said, today is Trinity Sunday, where we look at God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we as Christians claim this is how God has revealed himself to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you should all now know that it's three and one and one and three. Now, I hope that works as an earworm and sticks in your head. Sing it in the car on the way home. And therefore, you're learning some good theology in a children's song. That's the best way to learn theology. I'll come back to that. So, often when we talk about the Trinity, we often use images and models like this one. This is not a bad one. They often have triangles and circles in them. You know why? How many sides does a triangle have? How many sides does a circle have? One. So lots of those sort of images. And we could, I'd really enjoy going through, look at all the different images that have been used throughout history. I'm not doing that, no. But image is, or visual representation is one of the ways to help us try to come to grips with what is being talked about when it comes to our Heavenly Father. How does Jesus fit into that? How does the Holy Spirit fit into all that? And throughout church history, there has been much discussion. There's been much philosophical talk. And once again, those who know me, I really enjoy a good philosophical talk or a good theological talk about all that, but we're not going to do that today. Because there's another level to what is going on that we often miss. One of the dangers at times is we can get so technical. It's like what I was just talking about, water. You know, two hydrogen atoms, one oxygen, and for those who know chemistry and physics, it's actually a lot more complicated than that simple diagram. If you don't know, don't worry about it. But the more you delve in, the more complex our environment, nature becomes. The smaller you go, the more complex. The further out you go, the more complex. But you can delve so closely that you miss the simplicity as well, the beauty that is there as well. And there is great beauty in the Trinity. We learn in John's first epistle, well, learning might be a bit of an overstatement there, John states twice in this one chapter that God is love. Not that God is loving, not that God shows love, but that he is love. That is who he is. One of the brilliant things about Scripture is nowhere in Scripture does it say God is anger. It does say God is holy, but it doesn't say God is anger. It says he is love. His nature, what makes him who he is love. And I think it's reasonable to say that love implies relationships. If you are solo, if it is just you and nothing else, how do you love? We as humans, yes, we can love ourselves, I'm not denying that, but we as humans learn to love by loving others. Children learn to love their parents, they learn to love siblings, they learn to love. It's relationships, it's interaction. Thus, God is love because God is also Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father loves the Son, doesn't he? The Son loves the Holy Spirit. You can go through all the combinations there. They love each other. And through all eternity, way before creation, God is love because God has always been a relationship of three who are one and one who are three. It's all interconnected. And God, in that relationship, wants to share that relationship with his creation, with us. Remember back in Genesis, back in the first book of the Bible, God created man, male and female, created us in what? His image. What is God's image? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His image is love. It's relationship. He wants to, right from creation, to draw us into that relationship. Yet we messed it all up, didn't we? We wanted to be as good, if not better than God. We took the fruit and we broke the relationship. But our God, who is love, loves us, loves you and me so much that he's worked throughout history to bring us back into relationship with him. And that all led throughout the Old Testament, all leads to Jesus, doesn't it? It's always all about Jesus. Jesus is the focus. So I want us to have a bit of a closer look, briefly though, about what we learn about God from John's Gospel and from chapters 14 to 17. No, I'm not reading all four chapters. They are a magnificent four chapters to read. One of my favourite bits. And I try to read this passage pretty often, those four chapters. And I encourage you to do so following this. I'm going to pick out some highlights. And bear with me that these are just highlights. And I'm concentrating on what Jesus is teaching about who God is. I would argue that we have the concept of Trinity because people are trying to put into words or put into a summary of what Jesus says in these chapters. Sometimes those, for example, who Jehovah's Witness or Mormons or in what's sometimes called the Unitarian Church don't believe in God, three in one, one in three. And they will argue the word Trinity never appears in the Bible. Therefore, you can't believe it. But the concept is there. The name, the theology, if you like, has come out of trying to make, not just make sense, but to be able to better understand what God is revealing in Scripture. Yes, Trinity is not in the Bible. Did you know the word Bible is nowhere within our Bible? So we use words that aren't in there to describe things that are about it. So that's not a problem. So let's start with this. Jesus says in John 14:11. Now, all of these references are going to be from John, and they are all Jesus speaking. That's the other thing about those chapters. It's a lot of Jesus teaching. Because this all happens after the Last Supper. This all happens as they are heading towards the garden. This is Jesus' last time to give his followers, those closest to him, teaching before the cross. There's an urgency here that just adds a beauty to these chapters. And he says to them, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. These little words of in, just like God is love. The little words in Scripture are very powerful little words. So Jesus is claiming that who he is in the Father. And people say, oh, well, you know, we're God's creations, we're in God. And then he says, the Father is in me. Well, there are a lot of religions around that see God in everything. But if we just had this one verse, this wouldn't teach us much, would it? But what I'm going to show you is Jesus is focusing in on some important things here. He then, a few verses later, says, I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. As you start to put these together, Jesus is in us, and we are in Jesus. Paul teaches that throughout his letters. How are we saved? in Christ Jesus. It is by being in Jesus, by having our trust in Jesus, by putting Jesus on. It's all about our relationship with Jesus. But as we are in Jesus and he is in us, Jesus is also in the Father. Do you get the connection there? Because we are in Jesus and Jesus is in us and Jesus is in the Father, so the Father is in us and we are in the Father. Start to see the connections? And then Jesus says to his Father, I in them and you in me. So he's tightening that up. He's proclaiming to God that just as he is one with God, just as he is one with us, so the Father is one with him. That flow through. It's all through Jesus, very focused on Jesus. But we can't be with Jesus and not be with the Father. They are connected in both directions. Therefore, we are. Start to think about what all this means, what Jesus is saying, that our relationship with him doesn't just get us a relationship with him, it brings us as close to the Father as he is close to the Father. He then talks about the Holy Spirit in verse 16 of chapter 14. He talks about another advocate. That word is paraclete, which you may hear sometimes. An advocate is someone who stands up for you. And notice he uses the word another. Part of this is a dialogue because Jesus is telling them he's about to go. And just as Jesus has stood up for you, just as Jesus is about to die for you, that's how much he loves you, that's how much he is for you, so another is coming who is just like that. Who, and this advocate, of course, we know as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like Jesus. And once you start saying that, you start to get the next connection. What does Jesus, just as Jesus is in the Father, so the Holy Spirit is in the Father. Start to get those sort of connections. You know him, that's the Holy Spirit, Jesus talking to his disciples. You know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. Part of why Jesus has to die on the cross, part of the reason he has to ascend to the Father is so that the Holy Spirit can reside within us. We've just come from Pentecost last week. That's all about that the Holy Spirit now lives within each and every one who puts their trust in Jesus. Now, notice this is verses 16, 17, 18. They're all quite close here. So Jesus has to go. But don't worry, he's going, but he's sending another like him, isn't he? And this one who is like him is going to be in you and with you. And because of that, Jesus will be there. Don't think about this too hard. It does start to make the head hurt. Jesus is explaining why he has to go. He has to go so he can be with them. That would mess with your kids if you said that too much. But there's a truth here, isn't there? This is part of the glory of the Father. He's drawing us into this relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can't be with one without being also with the others. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Jesus often talks about all from the Father. Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Jesus has all that the Father has, and Jesus gives that to the Holy Spirit. See, once again, the connection. It's three who are one who are three. To finish our little examination of this section of John, in John chapter 17, you have Jesus no longer talking to the disciples, but 17 is this magnificent, beautiful prayer of Jesus. even if you don't read all four chapters, 14 to 17, I encourage you to more often read chapter 17. This is Jesus talking to his Father. And then in verse 20, I think it gets even more wonderful. Notice what he says here. This is verses 20 to 23. My prayer is not for them alone. Talking about the disciples, the ones with us. One of the things we often may struggle with is, oh, God doesn't mean this for me. He was just talking to the 12. He was talking to Peter, James, and John. He's not meaning this for me. Who am I to be part of all this glory? Notice what he says here. And I think this applies not just here. This applies to all of Scripture. This applies to those letters that Paul writes to the Romans and the Corinthians, etc. It also applies to you, encompassing this. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. There's a connection. They are going to spread the word and it's going to be heard. 2,000 years later, it is still being heard. We are still in Christ as they are in Christ. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also, so it is most definitely talking to you and me here, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Whilst the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned there, notice that may they also be in us. Most commentators see that as very Trinitarian, as the Holy Spirit is in us, as Jesus is in us, as the Father is in us, may we be in them, in that relationship with the Trinity. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we are received into that relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we are drawn closer into that relationship, the effect of that is, I'm being drawn closer, you're being drawn closer, and so we're all being drawn closer to one another. Complete unity is when we all are focused on Jesus, when we're all focused on what he has done, what we've received. When we are so Jesus-focused, we are drawn into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then we're all drawn to each other, and that is unity. It's not that we all agree with one another. It's not that we all look the same. But it's all that we are all focused on the same cross. We are all focused on the resurrection. We are all focused on Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's all about relationships. God wants a relationship with you so bad that he sent his one and only Son to become one of us, to die for all of us, to rise from the dead. I've given you a lot to think about, and I've given myself a lot to think about. But one of our problems is that we don't always focus on Jesus. The noise of the world, our problems and our strifes. We listen to the evil one as we did back in the garden. And we take our focus off of Jesus. We pull ourselves out of that relationship with the Holy Trinity. We pull ourselves out of that, and we are damaged because of that. We need to keep coming back to the cross. We need to keep putting ourselves back into that relationship. The Father doesn't leave us, but I think we have a tendency to leave him, don't we? He doesn't stop showing forth his love to us. But do we stop showing our love to him? I found that the epistle reading we had today, what Romans says in the first five verses is something that we need to keep saying to yourself. Now, I mentioned before that little ditty we had before, 3 and 1 and 1 and 3. Hope that's an earworm that drives you insane. But they're good things. When I was a young teenager at the Christian group we had at school, we learned a song that is basically the words that are up there now, and it is still stuck in my head. These are good things to have stuck in your head. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given. It's taking verse 1 and 5 and joining it together. As you know, I am in no way musical, and I'm not going to sing it, though. For me, just saying the words in my head, I'm singing it. We need Scripture to be so much a part of us that it keeps drawing us back to Jesus. That's how helps us to stay in Jesus. Help us to better hear the Holy Spirit within us. Help us to keep being daughters and sons of the Most High God. But notice, it is all through our Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. And this is the Father's plan from before creation. How wonderful, how beautiful is our Lord God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.